The one thing that is timeless is messaging, your ability to tell a good story, but also tell a clear message so that your customers will listen. What will change and constantly pivot is the type of content you use to share that message. So obviously, written word's been around for a long time. Podcasting is still fairly new in the sense that like people can still explode with podcasts even starting today. And video obviously is, I would say, fairly new, obviously, in compared to like the written word. And then there'll be augmented reality, virtual reality. And so the types of content will always evolve, but the through line of all of those types of content is messaging.
Meet Dallin Need, the CEO of Content Supply. Dallin has built his career through storytelling and video marketing. And today he'll share how he went from working for Princess Cruises to freelancing to starting his own business, where he now helps creators grow their visionary businesses by becoming their customers' favorite brand. In this episode, Dallin shares some of the top struggles that creators face when it comes to video. And yes, we'll answer the questions I know you have around cameras and gear. But we'll also look deeper as Dallin walks us through his know, love, trust framework to understand how relationships are formed with your ideal customers over time. He also explains the difference between course videos and marketing videos and how your approach should vary between the two. Lastly, Dallin shares how understanding your brand story is the foundation that guides all video production and storytelling for your business. It's all coming up in today's episode of Everything is Teachable.
Welcome to Everything is Teachable, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes to learn how everyday creators have transformed their skills and passions into online courses and businesses. To introduce this week's episode, here's your host, Melissa Guller.
Hey everyone, I'm Melissa from Team Teachable, and today I'm excited to be here with Dallin Need. One of the world's top branding and messaging experts, Dallin Need has built his career by storytelling and video marketing. Dallin is the CEO and creator of Content Supply, a modern video marketing company that believes your story is the most influential way to scale your mission, movement, and message to create a world-class brand. So Dallin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I can't wait to learn more about you and to talk about video, a hot topic among course creators. So to start things off, how did you first get into video production?
That is a great question. And maybe it's similar to other people who do video production filmmaking. I picked up my first camera when I was little. My dad was kind of a home filmmaker, meaning like he did home videos often. The first camera I picked up, actually, you would record video straight to a VHS player, essentially. And then, I mean, I'm sure many people, maybe the new generation doesn't know what a VHS is, but it's like this, it's like the size of a, I mean, what size? Anyways, it's big.
You're recording the size of a book.
Yeah, perfect. Size of a book. And so you literally have to carry around a VHS player and you record video to that. It was low resolution and eventually it upgraded to a Hi8 camera, which was a smaller tape. And then a DV tape camera, which is a smaller tape than that. And eventually things became digital. But I always grew up enjoying making movies with friends. And, you know, I have them, but they're like ridiculous and embarrassing. But I always loved that. But I definitely was the type where I got pulled into the messaging that you can't make a living as an artist. And that filmmaking and the arts stays a hobby, will always be a hobby. And so when I jumped into schooling, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I was like, hey, I like tech. So I eventually landed on IT. And so I was deep into an IT education. And I remember staying up late, really late one night, many nights, debugging hundreds of lines of code. And I was like, man, well, what kind for myself, what kind of values is this bringing to me in my life? Is this lighting me up? And it's not. I was not enjoying it. And so I made a shift and it was a turning point for me. That I was like, hey, I love storytelling through video. And so I immediately started writing a script that became my first feature film as a student. I shot it on a Canon DSLR, a 5D Mark II, 80 minutes. We released it at local theaters. We made money off of it. And it was like a crash course in filmmaking. I had never taken a class in filmmaking. I was always just kind of done as a hobby. But then that kind of snowballed into other opportunities I created on entrepreneur ones at that too. But eventually I landed a job at Princess Cruises, where I traveled the world, not on board their cruise ships necessarily, I worked at their offices, but I traveled the world telling stories of people from all different backgrounds, business leaders, multimillionaires, to those who were making just enough to support their family back at home. And that really deepened my love for documentary filmmaking, but also the ability to tell stories from all different styles. And so along those lines, I wanted the more flexibility and freedom that entrepreneurship provided. And from one step after another, and in freelancing initially, I got connected with some clients who introduced me to all these different amazing softwares and tools like Teachable, for example, that was available online to build a business. And one of my first introductions to Teachable, and I don't remember how I came across it, honestly, but it was, I feel like early on with Teachable's growth, was building a course for someone else. And so, yeah, that kind of opened up my world into the online business world. And eventually I quit my corporate job and went full-time working in my pajamas.
I think that's the goal for all of us, right? The dream, working from your pajamas.
Totally.
And now I guess a lot of us are doing a little bit more of that lately. What's interesting about hearing your path to video production that I think a lot of people will relate to is that it's not, I decided I was going to do this, and then it was a straight shot from there. It was, oh, I really enjoyed this as a kid, and then I found myself in a different job, and then I found my way back full-time and then freelancing. I think a lot of people will relate to that because often it's not just a straight path to being an entrepreneur.
It's never a straight path. And I mean, even now, you know, we're recording this during a global pandemic where a lot of businesses are forced to adapt. Obviously, Teachable is thriving because they're built for the online virtual world, but a lot of businesses aren't, and you're forced to adapt and pivot, you know, frequently. And I think as far as a straight shot is, I never imagined where, when I started my business 2 years ago, I wouldn't imagine it would be in this place is today, and I'll say the same thing in another 2 years. So It's never a straight shot. And I think you have to be willing to roll with the punches sometimes. You have a vision for things, but being willing to adapt as needed.
Yeah, well said. And I think especially now, you mentioned, you know, Teachable, we're doing fairly well right now, but that's only because a lot of course creators are doing well right now. Our business is only as successful as the entrepreneurs who use our platform. And more than ever, a lot of us are thinking about video, whether it's now the household name Zoom or thinking about creating or taking online courses. And that's why I think it's so timely and exciting that we get to chat today to learn a little bit more about video from you, because it's such a big part of not just courses, but entrepreneurship. And frankly, I know it's a part that holds a lot of new creators back. So what do you think are some of the biggest video challenges that entrepreneurs or DIY creators are facing?
I would say I kind of consolidated 5 mistakes or struggles that creators or entrepreneurs experience when it comes to approaching video. And I'll speak to 2 of the biggest ones. The first one definitely is the fear of judgment, where oftentimes it doesn't come down to the equipment of having the right camera, because the best camera you have is always the one you have on you, which is typically your phone, which looks incredible, or your webcam. And so we no longer have that excuse of not having the right camera like we may have had 20 years ago. But what we are afraid of are what we're going to think of ourselves, you know, the fear of success or failing at putting ourselves out there through creating marketing videos and other types of videos, but also the fear of others. You know, what will our family think? What will our friends think? What will our customers think? But, you know, with that mindset, that's crippling to our ability to grow, because especially through getting our message out to the market, video, I believe, is the most powerful form that we can share that message. And the unique thing about video, though, and this is, it's speaking of evolution in business, I'm putting a lot more of my shift too on the messaging side a video and content as a whole, because the one thing that is timeless is messaging, your ability to tell a good story, but also tell a clear message so that your customers will listen. What will change and constantly pivot is the type of content you use to share that message. So obviously, written word has been around for a long time. Podcasting is still fairly new in the sense that like people can still explode with podcasts, even starting today. And video obviously is, I would say, fairly new, obviously, in compared to like the written word. And there'll be augmented reality, virtual reality. And so the types of content will always evolve, but the through line of all of those types of content is messaging. And so that's where, you know, there's a fear of judgment, but there's also a lack of a clear message for creators and entrepreneurs. So the more you can focus on that, video then is just icing on the cake.
I can't wait to talk more about getting into the story, the narrative side of video. But I have to say, I think with video as well, more than writing and maybe even more than podcasting, video is putting your whole self out there. They can see you, they can hear you, they see like your body language or the way that you're teaching. So I can see why it would inspire, you know, maybe a little bit of nervousness in creators, because you really are just saying like, this is me, here we go.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's, you know, it's difficult too, because we all have, I mean, think of it when you take a photo, like a group photo, and you're like, oh, let's see it. You always look at yourself first, right? You know, we're always so self-critical and we're like, oh man, I wish I took them the head down a different way, or, you know, that blouse or those pants. And so I think the more we can definitely feel our and look our best, you know, in our videos, if we want to have more of that polished look. Instagram stories, for example, or Facebook lives are definitely more of that DIY homegrown feel, which definitely work. But yeah, like I think it's, there's that, but there's also the side of whether you feel like you have a message that needs to be shared with the world. And maybe everyone feels that way, but they feel fine with not getting that out to the people who need to hear it. Because there is that responsibility to share that message, and video is one of the most powerful ways. And I think of actually, and maybe you've seen this from John Krasinski. He's Jim on The Office, the TV show. But he started probably about a month ago, Some Good News on YouTube, and it's exploded. He's got, I don't know, 3 million subscribers. Here he is, this Hollywood actor, filmmaker. He's directed a few movies now. But he's filming this YouTube show on his cell phone. And it's got home video type editing, very simple, but he makes it about his community and customers because he wants to share a positive message of good news with the world. And I think that's a good example. Like obviously he has the skill of being on camera, but the technology that's used is definitely more relatable and easy for anyone to do.
What I love about Some Good News too is that, like you said, it doesn't have the fancy bells and whistles, but ultimately it has such great content. You get to hear these really uplifting stories, sometimes very adorable, or sometimes like the cast of Hamilton will drop by. And I think it's a good takeaway for listeners because, sure, John usually has at his fingertips every tool, every person, every resource, but even stripping all of those away, he's a really good content creator and storyteller. And that's why people keep coming back to Some Good News.
Oh yeah. Hands down. And that's what it comes down to too, is like, forget about all of the equipment. I mean, I could, believe me, like I'm a gear geek and I can talk about the best gear to like, you know, I can show off all of my whole camera kit of what I've used over the years and what I have, but it comes back to just the ability, like how can you internally and also externally, like appearance wise, how can you solve the things that are keeping you back from creating video? And that's usually mindset, but also your ability just to practice being on camera consistently. And he's created a platform like Oprah. She's even been on his show, but like Oprah from long ago, like I use certain people that are very easily identifiable, right? Like Oprah, imagine if she never decided to show up on video. She's like, oh, you know, like I'm not good looking enough, or I don't have a story to share. If she decided not to ever show up on video, no one would know who she is. She would not have impacted so many lives. So she, among many other examples, are And despite the stardom or the maybe extrovertism that exists in these people, I think everyone's capable. It's just a matter of maybe more practice for others.
That's such a great point. And I'm glad you mentioned practice, because I think that's an often overlooked side of entrepreneurship. When you look at these people who have huge, maybe YouTube channels, huge course businesses, whatever it might be, the odds are they've been practicing in some way for years. They've been putting out videos for years, or they've been doing whatever they've been, you know, teaching others for years. And so if your video doesn't look like theirs, that makes perfect sense. And it's okay, because you'll get better the more and more that you practice teaching and putting yourself out there.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, there may be other video creators listening to this, or people who want to learn and become great at the art of video. And it's hard as an artist to put out like subpar looking videos, because like that, honestly, that still holds me back. Like every time I create a video, I'm the one who wants to like throw up my lights, plug in the right microphone, have my cinema camera set up. And that holds me back, because I still have that artistic side of me kick in. And so I think just being aware of like what are the barriers in our way is going to be one of the biggest ways we can step into video. Because once we do, and particularly clarify our message, then people will absolutely listen.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about messaging. I think that's a nice segue, because we've already kind of hinted at the importance of messaging or having a story to tell. So maybe for people who are newer to the world of video, why is story so important, or how does it play a part, even if you're not telling some kind of fictional story?
Yeah. Well, first off, to kind of make it relatable to everyone, I mean, I don't know anyone who dislikes movies, or maybe, you know, it's books, something that has a story. I think we all connect over stories. Think about the movies where a character dies, but we could care less. It's because the story was not very good. And they kill off a character. There was no emotional connection to those characters. We'll use maybe like the recent Avengers film with Iron Man dying. You know, here's like 10 plus years of storytelling around this one character. There's emotional connections that the audience has. And so a death of that character has an emotional punch to it. And it makes that story far more unique, because there's that built up storyline. And we can follow a similar path, meaning, you know, we have the opportunity to create movies every single day, whether it's through Instagram stories, Facebook Lives, maybe it's like a polished YouTube show, whatever it may be. We can create movies every day or every week, whatever that cadence looks like for you. And by doing so, we can share our story. And what sharing our story looks like is sharing our perspective. So one thing I take my clients through is a process I call Story Supply. So my company is called Content Supply, and within it, there's a messaging framework called Story Supply. And what it helps you do is clarify your message by identifying what your brand story is. And there's 5 P's I help people identify, so that way they can communicate their brand story simply. But also there's 1 core message you need to deliver, which is like 1 to 2 sentences, a very simple way that you can communicate what you do in your business.
Would you be able to give us an example of a brand story?
Of course. Yeah. So first off, the 5 P's that I reference are person. So who's the character? Problem. So what's the problem of that character? Then plan. So what's the plan that the character needs? And then perspective. What's the new perspective or belief that that character creates? And then payoff. So what's the result? And so that gives kind of 5 buckets to a brand story. And when you go to create your brand story, say for your brand, right? I would approach it in 2 ways. And I'll share an example in a second, like a specific example. But I would approach your brand story in 2 ways. One way is do it for yourself. You know, like what, like why did I start my business? Like I, you know, you're the character, you're the person. So what was your problem? Like, why did you end up creating your business? Or the framework you use in your online course. And so identify what those things are for you. But then once you do that, do it for your customer, your perfect ideal customer, because you'll see that the stories are very similar. or at least have similar themes. And then that way you can start using your customer's brand story in your messaging. And so an example would be, so I can use my my story. So let's say I'll start it with myself first, right? So I'm the person, and my problem before creating my online business, my problem was I was working at a corporate job, and I felt like I wanted more freedom and flexibility, and I didn't have that. And so my problem was my inability to live the life I wanted on my terms, both financially, both with time. And so the plan got presented to me by, say, like a mentor or a business coach I discovered. And she presented this plan to me, and it basically became a framework by which I could follow to build an online business. Courses are involved with that, the ability to create those types of products in your business, but also just a structure of like, well, how do I go about to build a business where I can sell products and services online? And so having that plan, that framework to follow, and then a perspective shift, recognizing in myself that, hey, by following this plan, I can be successful to live the life that I love and want to by having the time freedom, the financial freedom, by following this plan. And the only way to do this is I must go all in and commit. And so as I had a perspective shift, I followed the plan, I started to become successful, and I had this payoff in the end by eventually quitting my job and going full-time in my online business because I followed that very clear path of this brand story. And so by doing that, although I don't currently have a product in place for what I'm about to say, but by dissecting that brand story and then applying it, say, to an ideal customer, I can then go become or be a coach to others who want to follow a similar path. Let's say there's other filmmakers out there and they also want to build an online business and they are tired of maybe working at their corporate job. They want to, you know, go freelance or just know that they can make a full-time living. And so I could then step up as a coach, use the same framework, use my brand story, and that becomes the structure to my online course or my coaching program. So by following that path, not only can we create products, but we can create clear messaging, meaning we know there's a step in our ideal customer's journey that they are currently in. So let's say usually the person's identified if we're clear on who we serve, our customer. But as we go to create, say, marketing content and use this brand story framework, we can really dig deep into the problems that our customers are experiencing and agitate that problem in the marketing videos and content we create. And then we can talk a lot about the plan. Like, here's this framework, or here's this this course I have, this product I've created. And we can talk a lot about perspective shifting, creating new beliefs that customers can have what it takes to be successful. All to, you know, like the whole idea, right? With online courses, with anything we offer as business owners, as creators, is to provide a payoff, a result for those we serve. And so the best way to do that is to dissect our own story and to understand how we became successful ourselves, particularly with online courses and coaching programs. And mm-hmm. So that's to me the power of understanding our clear brand story and that path that we took, and then making sure we communicate that clearly. But that becomes an unlimited wealth of content ideas that we can use in our videos.
Yeah, I was about to ask. So that's the big picture, the umbrella of maybe the video work that somebody is about to do. How does that become video? And maybe can you talk about the difference between a course video, educational content, and then something that you might produce for social media or for a marketing channel?
Yes, that's a great question. Actually, and that segue, so I mentioned Story Supply as my messaging framework. Once you have a clear message, then you need to create a marketing plan. And when within this marketing plan, I call it no, love, trust, with no, love, and trust each being a phase of a customer's journey and working with the business. And the reason why I'm introducing it this way is because think of it like this. So the no phase of content or your customer's journey is them learning about you and your business for the first time, what products you have to offer, them being introduced and learning more about the problems they're experiencing. The love phase of the content or your customer's journey is when they start to become a lead in your business. You know, maybe they download a lead magnet, or maybe they take a free course that you offer. But then the trust phase is when someone pays you because they show they trust you. And usually that's within, you know, an online course or some other product. But each phase of this journey or this sales funnel calls for different types of videos. So the no phase, that's all the social media content, all the free content you put out there. It's introducing people to you and getting them to develop that relationship with you. Because if you think, like, I'm married, I've been married for 6 years. And if I immediately expected my future wife to trust me on our first date, I would be kidding myself. It was going to take time for her to get to know me and eventually fall in love with me to then trust me for me to pop the question, you know, and to make that thing real. And the same thing happens with your customers. You need to nurture that relationship. And so social media content is no content. Content within your sales funnel and the you know, attempt through ads or your sales funnel to sell them more, to guide them more is love content. And then trust content are product videos. So videos that exist in your online course, you can give longer form trainings and you can remove all the salesy stuff and just provide pure value that way too.
So if I were to sit down and create each one of those three types of videos, what would that process look like? Because I know, at least for me, when I think about starting to create a video, the idea of having almost like a blank page in front of me feels very intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, so begin with that brand story for your customer and begin with the problem aspect. And so I would say, begin with the problem aspect, but first, I would say build from the inside out, meaning like the trust content. So, before you create any kind of video, you need to have a product to sell, especially if you want to build an online business. And so begin with understanding your brand story, what framework or coaching program does that look like? And then creating that content, like literally just giving all your secrets, everything away, and creating some kind of product to sell, even if it's something as simple as a free lead magnet. And, you know, it's a love type video where you're able to share value and give stuff away. Like the idea is, you know, you want to definitely build your email list that way, but definitely begin with the problem, because the more you can begin with the problem and also begin with who has that problem, then you'll be more clear on the rest of the types of videos you want to create. And so within that too, so yeah, start with the product, then create the funnel stuff. And then when you're ready to actually sell something, then create the no videos. And the no videos, how I would approach those is, like I said, all about the problem, but I would recognize what is the perspective or belief I need to create in my customer for them to be ready to buy what I offer. And when you can ask yourself that, like list those beliefs, list those, even it's like a belief transformation, like they need to develop this idea that they have what it takes to be successful with working with you. And usually that comes down to talking a lot about the problems they're experiencing, the objections they have. Because the more people can see that you understand their problems, the more that they recognize you having the solution to those problems.
What I really like about hearing you walk through the three different phases is that, like you said, if you just had come out right to your wife and said, "Will you marry me?" the second you met her, she probably would say like, "Whoa, slow down." But it does feel like a lot of marketers cut right to the chase, where the first time you see them online, they're already asking for the sale. And so I think it's really helpful to hear you break down the three different phases and talk about first, just introducing yourself and providing value or helping them understand that you understand them before you move into a sale, before you move into the teaching part.
Definitely. And keep it simple too. Like, don't like make a list of all these different ideas you have and then theme them within each of those three, like one of those three phases. And then ask yourself truly, like, does my dream customer actually care about this type of this topic? And then that becomes at least the idea behind the videos you can go and create. But you need to, like, that's where relevancy and your messaging happens in the stories you have to tell. And you can really plan an entire months to years worth of video content strictly just around the belief systems people have that keep them from buying what you have to offer. Because there's going to be, you know, just within, say, fear alone, there are hundreds to thousands of little micro topics you could probably dig deep into and revisit again and again for people. So that I would start there as far as like if when you're unsure of what to talk about in your content, you know, begin high level with the brand story and within that, the problem of your ideal customer.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. And to focus a little bit more on the online course itself, since that's what a lot of our listeners are thinking about, do you have any tips in general about, you know, how long should a video be, or how do you decide if something is one video versus five videos or a whole section of videos?
I would say simplify. And it's so much easier said than done. And to do that, have one clear purpose for each of your videos. If your video is serving multiple purposes, meaning if you give multiple call to actions, or if you give more than one core idea to think about, then you're going to overwhelm your customer and they may not go back to you as quickly. And obviously there's plenty of ideas communicated, but if you can sum up and give one clear end result you want from each video, then keep it to that. And so as far as the length that creates, I would say it's dependent on what that purpose is behind your video, but also where your video fits in your customer's journey. Oftentimes, the longest videos are going to be the trust videos, that are within your products, because you've already captured the attention. And, you know, here, think of it like maybe pillow talk, if you're familiar with that term, where you're going to talk hours on end, maybe it's with your girlfriends or, you know, your spouse, whoever it may be, your friends. You're going to talk hours on end because you trust each other. You have that relationship. And so the length of that content, so to speak, can be almost unlimited in some ways. But then within the love phase, you know, those videos are going to be shorter because you definitely want to respect people's time before they fully commit. And then the no phase, I would just give even more simplified sound bites of your messaging there and keep your videos from 15 seconds, like Instagram story, all the way to 5 to 10 minutes. And I would say 5 to 10 minutes would be through like a Facebook or YouTube video or
it's
Instagram.
It's so interesting to think about that, the different lengths and how there truly are videos of all lengths these days, from 15 seconds up through in a course, maybe 15 minutes, or even a live masterclass could be an hour online these days, but they all function very differently and serve very different purposes. So I think that was really helpful advice. I do also, of course, have to ask the question I assume all my listeners are dying for me to ask, which is, okay, you said you don't care about gear, but please tell me about gear anyway. So I have to ask, what are some of your recs maybe for choosing a camera and microphone? And I also want to get into lighting, perhaps the unsung champion of video.
Yes. Well, first off, when it comes to video, your first investment should be audio. It sounds counterintuitive, but if you have a poor microphone, poor audio quality, then your video is going to not be good. And so invest in audio first. And so as far as I'll speak to microphone solutions, I personally love the microphone I'm using now. Hopefully it sounds pretty good if I have my settings right, but it's a Shure microphone and I'm plugging it into an audio mixer, which then plugs into my computer so I can use it that. But this microphone is also used by musicians a lot in performance. But then like Blue Yeti for USB microphones, or Rode is a good brand. But honestly, like, I mean, there's so many brands out there, so it's hard to commit to just one. And it really just depends on your budget. And so I usually recommend to my clients, like, to set a clear budget of what you want. And then within that, there's different types of pretty, you know, quality gear choices you can go. So like no budget, meaning use what you have, to less than $1,000 to, you know, maybe that's a quick Amazon search, to anything above $1,000. It's either like, hey, do I want to invest in all this gear, or do you want to just want to hire someone to do it all for me? And so, yeah, microphone wise, USB microphone usually is the best, especially if you're doing online courses. You can record it straight in your computer, or lavalier mics. I like Sennheiser, if I'm saying that right. It's some European brand. And then camera wise, I prefer Canon. And I have a variety of different types of Canon cameras from like their cinema line. My C200 is my main camera, and it's very versatile for like documentary to corporate to online courses. I mean, I've shot everything with it, events. And then there's other smaller and cheaper versions. Like, for example, the EOS R by Canon is an incredible versatile. It takes incredible photos, and video is really good as well. And so as far as course creators, that's probably one of my top recommendations because it's very easy to use. And a lot of these DSLRs have a lot of auto settings that make you look great in video. But honestly, taking the example of John Krasinski, who could use, you know, $100,000 camera just like that, decides to go with a cell phone, I think many of us can do the same. And as long as you have pretty good audio going with that cell phone, then you should be good to go for a long time. And then lighting. So as far as lighting goes, I mean, here's different levels. Like if you can face a window, I mean, natural light is some of the most flattering light you can use. So face a window, you get full light that way. Ring lights or diva lights are a great option too. I personally don't use those because of the sci-fi type glow in your eyes, because you get this ring, a natural look in your eyes. So that, and then also it provides even lighting across your face fully, where I kind of like a little bit more shadows to show like the, I'm getting a little bit more, I guess, technical with some of this, but you can get more shadows and you can shape people's face more with shadows on their face. But it's totally the type of video. Like if you got to do a beauty video or show your skin, obviously Diva Light is a great option. And then honestly, you can go to Amazon and type in video lighting, and they're going to have soft boxes and lighting options that are all less than $1,000 that will look incredible. I mean, even the main light I use is less than $1,000. And I know a lot of filmmakers use it, and it's called Aperture. And then you put a light dome on it, the softbox, and it looks amazing. I love it.
I love the takeaway here too, which is that there is something for every budget. So if you want to use your phone, maybe even just spending $100 on a nice microphone will take you from like 0 to 10 so quickly and will immediately make you sound so professional. If you want to spend more than that, of course, the internet will let you spend as much as you want. But I think it's reassuring to hear that for any price point, it sounds like I could still get some great audio and video quality. And I also wanted to ask, I know a lot of course creators are shooting videos of themselves as opposed to just doing screen share videos. And maybe they're demoing themselves in the kitchen or watercolor painting. And how do they hold the phone up? Maybe that's a silly question, but I feel like I never know where to put my technology.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I definitely recommend stabilization. So keeping your camera still is one of the amateur moves. If you're trying to make your videos look better, like obviously there's a time and place with Instagram stories. It's more like, you know, day in the life, guerrilla style filmmaking. That's a term meaning just like run and gun on the go. But if you want something to look more polished, get a tripod. You can get a cheap tripod that's lightweight for like 10 to 20 bucks on Amazon. And then you can get an attachment on that tripod to hold your phone. And so that you can set that up. And even some of these tripods, you can adjust it in a way and get different arms for it in a way that allows you to do overhead filming. So like if you need to display just your hands, like I think of there's one creator I know who does magic tricks or card tricks, and he needs the overhead display to show his hands. And so you can do options like that. You can put it in front of you, so it's just a talking head video as you present. And then there's also, I mean, I know DJI and some other brands offer a stabilizer, a little tiny rig, super user friendly for anyone to use, and you can walk around with your phone and it stabilizes, meaning it just makes it the motion smooth. It removes any kind of bumpiness that may happen. So that way you're not filming like a Bourne Identity movie.
No, that sounds kind of fun too.
Yeah.
Fun, but maybe not the educational professional vibe that we're all going for.
Right.
But that's helpful. Even the tripod, knowing you can put your phone in a tripod. I recently learned that, and I was probably more mind blown than I should have been. But it was so helpful just to be able to set up my phone and be able to shoot little videos on the go. All right. As we start to kind of wrap up, I do want to hear a little bit more about your courses and your business. So what does your business look like today, and how do courses play a part?
Yeah. It really wasn't till, I mean, I've created many courses and stepped in to serve many course creators to create like marketing plans and a bunch of videos for their products, ads, and funnels. And it really wasn't until a few months ago that I really started focusing on doing more of my own courses. And that's going to be definitely a big part of the future of my business, is getting my agency to run well without me, so I can go back and, you know, and help people through products like courses. And so I have courses for my business, Content Supply, where we do guide people through not only the tech side of video creation, like learning about the gear, but also how to use it and creating a very clear video marketing strategy. But actually more recently, like I'm wrapping up this month, is more training on that clear path from having a clear message to creating a proven marketing strategy to then putting that into content like video. And so, you know, like I mentioned, story supply, no love, trust, and then your ability to create content that works to grow your business. And so that's really what the structure of my courses look like. And Teachable, like the platform is just so easy and user-friendly. Like I always go back to it as far as what I recommend for people, because it's so user-friendly. And, you know, I feel like I feel like it's hard to, once you go to Teachable, it's hard to go back to maybe any other option.
Well, I appreciate that. And I swear I didn't force you to say any of those.
No, and I'm not trying to sell. We're on Teachable podcast. I'm not trying to sell Teachable. I'm just saying like Teachable was like, it holds a place in my heart, as like fluffy as that sounds, because it was one of my first introductions to what was possible to create an online business. And this is like maybe 3 or 4 years ago before I even quit my job. So like, to me, there's that connection that like, as Teachable's grown more, I've grown my business more. Although I haven't actively created products like I wanted, because I've been in more of a service provider role, I just think there's so many opportunities with using products for your business to scale it in a way that is not possible without.
I think that's probably a common feeling, maybe for some listeners who either have a service-based business and are thinking about courses, or now have a mix of both, because they do serve different audiences. Like one person might want to learn how to create their own videos versus somebody else just wants to hire you to create the videos for them. And of course, that comes with different price points. But as I'm sure most of us realize, we can't take on infinite clients. And so online courses are a great way to reach more people or a slightly different audience of people.
Definitely.
So if you were starting your online business today, what would you do in the first maybe month or two to kick things off?
Oh man. Ooh, this is a good retrospective question. I would get really clear, and I kind of mentioned it, but I would get really clear on who I want to serve. Because when like I can serve people who light me up to be around, like I love interacting with, and the way I can serve them is being like, well, what is a problem that they have? And one that I can solve for them. So like, first off, do I enjoy being around these people I want to serve? Second off, what's a problem I can help them solve? And then third off, what's, by solving that problem, what kind of product or service can I create to solve that problem? And I would start there and get clear on that even sooner. It took me more time to clarify that than I would have hoped. And by doing that though, so like I kind of did that, I guess, subconsciously, but it took me longer. And I put that into my agency where we provide services. But what I would have done sooner is definitely package up a clear process that I follow, like I do today, into a clear 3-step process that we use for our agency clients, and apply that into products like courses I can create. So that way there's a version of what I offer both as a service, but also as a do-it-yourself course or done with you coaching program. And that way there's different ways to access what I have to offer. And so, yeah, that's kind of the progression of what I would have tackled quicker in the first month or so.
I love the advice about getting clear on who you want to serve, because ultimately those are the people that you're going to spend a lot of time with, time helping, time thinking about. And so if you choose a lucrative market, but you don't want to work with those people, you're probably doomed right from the start. So I thought that was a really great piece of advice.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, where can people connect with you or learn more about you and your business?
Yeah. My company site is contentsupply.com. And then you can find me, Dallin Ead, on the different socials.
Perfect. And we'll make sure to include links in the show notes. And before we do go, do you have any final words of wisdom or inspiration for our hopefully excited about video listeners today?
Start now. I mean, if you've already kind of chipped away at it, or there's still fears around creating video and you know you have a message that needs to be shared, then don't rob your customers of that message that you need to share. And usually that's this unique story that only you, no one else can share for you. And a video is going to be one of the best ways you can do that. So get clear on your message, know who you're talking to, and create videos to talk to them.
Great advice. And thank you, Dallin, again for joining. It's been such a pleasure learning more about you and getting some video tips to store away for the next videos that we work on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. You can learn more about Dallin Ead, Content Supply, and Teachable in the show notes at teachable.com/EIT26. That's teachable.com/EIT26. Before you go, make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. You can either subscribe right here in your favorite podcast app, or you can sign up for email alerts at teachable.com/podcast. And if you're enjoying the show, I hope you'll let us know. We love reading through your reviews in Apple Podcasts. And if you have a minute to spare, we'd love to read yours too. On behalf of Team Teachable, we hope you enjoyed this episode about video and storytelling with Dallin Ead. We'll see you in the next episode of Everything is Teachable.
This podcast is produced by Teachable, where our mission is to empower creators to transform their knowledge into income. To date, we've helped over 80,000 online business owners build and sell their online courses. And together, they've earned over $500 million and reached over 20 million students. To learn more or to start creating your own online courses for free, visit teachable.com.